I wanted to talk about peace. And I know we talked about peace before when we did the fruit of the spirit, right? We talked about peace, but I learned something new about peace. Any, you know, the Hebrew word for peace?
Shalom.
Shalom. That is the Hebrew word for peace. And you know, in the Bible, they have Hebrew, and then usually in the New Testament is more Greek or some Aramaic translations. But the Greek word for peace is Eirene, but it's, you know, similar to Shalom. The reason why I wanted to talk about it, because when I understood what Shalom actually means, a light bulb went off for me. So when I have these moments, I try to share it with you to see, hopefully, a light bulb will go off for you too. In our world today, when we think of peace, what comes to mind?
Stillness.
Stillness or calm. Yeah.
Yeah. Happiness.
Yeah.
You know, unbothered by events.
Unbothered by events. And some of those events could be war, peace treaty, or a time of peace. It's in the land would be no war or no conflict. In the general sense, we think of peace as no war, stillness, calmness, happiness. Good times. But shalom actually means complete or whole. And so when I think of how we use peace today, complete and whole doesn't quite match up to no war, you know, stillness, whole, complete. So when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, complete and whole. And then the first thing that came to mind when I learned that shalom means complete or whole, the very first thing that came to mind is that Jesus is our Prince of Peace, and he came to bind up the brokenhearted, right? So he's here to make whole our broken hearts, right? He's here to bring us completeness. So when you think of being complete or being whole, in a sense, we understand if we have a broken heart, what wholeness looks like there. If it's a broken relationship, what wholeness looks like there. We kind of understand the wholeness in that sense, but it means that there is peace in that sense. If you turn to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7.
For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you. Shalom. And there's going to be no end to shalom. So now, when you think of wholeness or complete, he's going to complete it, and there will be no end to this completion. It will be finished. Now, it makes sense why Jesus said it is finished, right? Because he brought that wholeness. If we were to look at the word shalom in the verb sense, so when somebody brings shalom, it means that they restore or they make it complete. Back in that day, oh, remember in Leviticus when they explained all the laws, and if somebody killed your animal, who you have to pay them back, and like all of that. When you restore your neighbor, then you bring shalom, you bring peace. And the peace that they were supposed to be bringing to each other wasn't just peace for, okay, we're not fighting anymore. It actually extends past that to now we're working together. And so the kings, when they fought nations or whatever, they were supposed to be establishing the kingdom in a way that they had allies and that they would be working together to advance the Israelite kingdom. But we know that's not how the story goes.
Hey friend, it's so good to have you here. Go ahead and like the video, share it with your friends, and comment. Thanks.
Even the kings, they were supposed to bringing about peace. They're supposed to be working with neighboring countries, especially, you know, like if they had a war after the war, it wasn't supposed to be over there, we over here. They were supposed to help each other. If you could turn to Romans 5, verse 1, and when you hear the word peace here, think of Eirene, which is the Greek word for peace, which is complete and whole.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
So justification comes because of faith in Christ. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. Because he's our Prince of Peace and we believe in him, we are justified. And what does that justification do? We have completeness and we are whole with God. So that peace with God, or being whole with God, or being complete with God, because remember, because of sin, we're separated from Him. And so through faith in Christ, we are justified to now have a complete or a whole relationship with God. Does the verse seem or sound different when we change the word peace to whole or to complete? Does it open up a bigger picture for you? It did for me.
Let me read it. And instead of saying peace, I'm going to say wholeness and then see. Yes. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have wholeness with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it does make a difference.
Yes.
It's not just a feeling. It's a relationship. Mm-hmm. If we have wholeness with Him, then we're part of Him.
Yeah, right.
We have this relationship with Him, and that relationship is not whole. It's not segmented. It's not fragmented. We're not separated. It's together. We are able to have this relationship because of Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Shalom. He is the Prince of Peace. So reading it with the word complete or whole brings a whole other dimension to peace, because every time before that we think about peace, we think about stillness, and those are very valid meanings. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus said to the water, peace be still, and it's shalom, right? So all of that is definitely not to negate any of that, but it's just to bring a deeper revelation of why Jesus came. And we know why He came, but I think this to me cements the word a little bit more in my heart, that if peace actually means complete or whole, mm-hmm. like, whoa. That just opens another door, another dimension for me, because the peace that I get from Jesus is not just a stillness, is not just a calmness, is not just that I won't have conflict, but it means that I am being restored, or I am restored. I am whole. I don't have to worry about, oh, I'm missing a piece of me somewhere. I am whole in Him. Ephesians 2:14-15.
For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace.
When you put whole there, how much more sense it makes now when it says in that last verse, so making peace, so mm-hmm. making wholeness, the two pieces are come right. together, and it's now one whole piece, one thing. It's now whole. It's no longer separated. So what was causing the separation, Jesus tore it down. Jesus mm-hmm. tore down that middle wall of partition between us and God, changing the word peace to complete. These verses that we've read many times has, like, there's a flashlight on this verse to me now, because before we thought peace as, oh yeah, okay, there's a stillness, there's a calmness. So because of Jesus, we can rest assured and not be troubled. But no, it's more than that. Jesus tore down that barrier between us and God, and now the two pieces have now come together and is now complete. So when you're working on a jigsaw puzzle, and we like to do that, when it's scattered and it's not put together, then it's not in shalom. Right. But as soon as you drop that last piece and you smooth it out, guess what? It's in shalom. And you wouldn't necessarily think of, oh yeah, just put this puzzle piece to peace. This puzzle piece now has peace. But now I'm hoping that now moving forward, when you read these scriptures, that not only are you thinking stillness and calmness and no conflict, but we're thinking wholeness and completion and getting the full story. When we're explaining the gospel to others, when we're expressing just what Jesus did for us, understanding that He is the Prince of Peace, and not only is peace a fruit of His Spirit, but this is what peace actually does. It brings the pieces together and it makes everything whole. Or in the situation with us and God, our relationship was severed and He brought it together. Not only that, but even in His obedience to the cross, He actually paid for our sins. He took our death so that we could live. He gave His life. There's an exchange there, and in doing so brings that reconciliation, because the wages of sin is death. So somebody has to pay. So He came and He paid it, and He appeased that rule. So we are supposed to die for our sins, but Jesus came and He paid it. So then that brings us shalom, or that brings us peace, or that makes it complete and it's done. That transaction is complete. because he took care of it. Another scripture that we can look at is Colossians 1, 19 to 20.
For it pleased the Father, for all the fullness of deity, the sum total of his essence, all his perfection, powers, and attributes, to dwell permanently in him, the Son, and through the intervention of the Son, to reconcile all things to himself, making peace with believers through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven.
So this is talking about the same thing that I was just mentioning. When we're explaining exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross, it's more than a sacrifice for our sins. It's bringing peace or completeness to that transaction. I don't have a better word for it. I'll just say transaction for now until I get a better word. But this verse is talking about that God was pleased to fully dwell in Christ. He wasn't just okay to fully dwell in Christ. He was pleased. It pleased him to put his deity to his fullness, and having made peace, or having made erene, through his blood on a cross. And what did that do? That caused a reconciliation. So not only is there no more conflict, but now there is the restoration or the reconciliation. Jesus really is the word, because like everything that we read is, it talks about him. The stories they tell talks about him in some figurative way. It talks about him, his ways, his characters. This particular verse that it talks about the shedding of his blood, or like I said earlier, with him being obedient to the cross, the shedding of the blood, it caused us to be reconciled back to our Father, and thus brings shalom, or erene, or peace. John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, that is one of the very common verses that we know to do with peace. But not only is Jesus saying that I'm giving you peace, and we already said that peace meant stillness, it meant not being bothered, right? So if you're not to be afraid, that means there's a stillness, there's a calmness, there's a lack of fear there, right? Because you're not worrying. This peace that Jesus is giving us is explaining to us that it surpasses what the world can give us, because the world's definition of peace would be no war, no conflict, and boom, that's it. Jesus's peace is giving us completeness, it's giving us wholeness, it's giving us reconciliation, it's giving us restoration. Right? So everything you lost, you're going to get back, because you're being restored through whatever caused the lack of peace or the lack of shalom. When you get Jesus's peace, it's going to be whole. Everything's going to be patched up. It's not going to be peace over here, peace over there, not like the world. The world would not be able to do it in fullness, wholeness, like Jesus can. But I brought this part up because Jesus is leaving us his peace. He's given it to us. Why is he doing that? He's giving us his peace so that we can share it. Yeah. You know, Jesus is the light of the world, but so are we. So what Jesus has, he has given to us. So when Jesus came, he demonstrated to us, because remember, when God created man, he gave man dominion and authority over the earth. So this realm, this earth realm, we have dominion over this earth realm. But because of interactions in the garden, somehow during the fall, we stopped walking in dominion in the earth. And when Jesus came, he showed us exactly what dominion on the earth looks like. And what I love about the way Jesus did it, it wasn't with an iron fist. It wasn't a do what I say because I said it. It was nothing like that. His influence and his impact was so, I don't even want to say smooth, but it didn't come with whips and chains and I'm going to force you into it or anything like that. It came in a way that empowered us versus punished us into what we're supposed to be or what we're supposed to do. So as Christians, and Christians mean to be Christ-like or to be like Christ, Jesus gave us the example of how we are supposed to operate. How do we love? We're supposed to love our enemies, right? We're supposed to do good to those that hurt us, and we're to bless and not to curse. We're to turn the other cheek. Jesus showed us how to love. He also showed us how to deal with sickness, how to deal with lack. They were walking and they needed money for something, and Jesus says, check out that fish. The money was in the fish's mouth. I mean, it's like wild stories like that. But when you have dominion over the earth, and you're walking in your dominion, he wasn't bossing, he wasn't saying fish come out of the water. I mean, he wasn't doing anything like that, but he was demonstrating to us how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to walk. And if he gave us his peace, then we're supposed to be the one bringing wholeness to others. We're supposed to be the one bringing restoration to others, bringing them to the knowledge of Jesus, bringing them to the knowledge of the source of peace, bringing them to the knowledge of a relationship. Because at the end of the day, I can't say, you know, I ministered to Tracy and Tracy gave her life to the Lord, so I made Tracy give her life to the Lord. I didn't. The Holy Spirit would draw Tracy based on my obedience to what the Holy Spirit told me to do. The Holy Spirit said, talk to Tracy, tell her about Jesus. And I talk to Tracy and tell her about Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to stir, to change. That's his work. It's not my work. But what I'm saying is, it is our responsibility to share Jesus. It's our responsibility to share his peace, or to share his light, or to share his love, or to share his healing, or to share his comfort. With all of these things that Jesus did and who Jesus is, we're supposed to share that. And it sounds like a tall order because we're not Jesus and we're human and we make mistakes and we fall. However, we're still called to do that. We're still called to show compassion. We're still called to be holy as he's holy. We're still called to live like Jesus lived. And at the end of the day, Jesus explained it like this: love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. It sounds simple when I say it like that, but there are people who know where our buttons are. They ride that remote. How do we love those people? How do we bring shalom to that relationship? We're called to do that, right? We believe in Christ. We love Jesus. We want to live for him. These are the things that we're called to do. And it's the beauty about having a relationship with Jesus is that we're not doing anything in our own strength. It's the best thing about it. We can call on him and say, God, I need extra grace right now. Need some patience because I cannot deal with this person. Or you can just take back the remote. Stop having them pressy buttons. But even that in itself takes, I believe that takes discipline. Because for the person to be able to pressy buttons as often as they do and can get through to you as often as they do, then you've already given them the power to do that. So it's about learning how to take back that power to where the person says something, it's not triggering you. And I'm not saying anything that's easy, you know, talking about hard things. But Jesus, who is our Prince of Shalom, we have a relationship with him and we're supposed to be plugged into the source. We're supposed to say, Jesus, I need your help. I need help with this. I know this is an issue for me. Every time the person opens their mouth, I want to run away. This shouldn't be. I should be reconciling or restoring, and this is not what is happening here. So I need your help. And he's able. And you know, the Holy Spirit is so beautiful and so encouraging. Because there are times like I'll have conversations like I'm talking to you now, and I'm like, but this don't make any sense. Why? And then the Holy Spirit will like, haven't you done that before? Yeah. Well, you got forgiveness, right? So what's the big deal? Like, why are you holding on to this? Why don't you let me go? But he's not beating me over the head. He's just like, yeah, really? That's how you think about it? What happened? And then he'll bring up, remember when you did? Oh, yeah, I did that too. Oh my gosh. Yeah, maybe I need to take a step back and not be so much into my feelings about this particular thing. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. He guides, he teaches, he brings to remembrance. And then the things that he brings to remembrance, you're like, oh, all right. You win. You're right. You win. But, you know, that's just how beautiful that whole relationship and being reconciled with God and just having his peace. I remember when we talk about calmness and we talk about lack of worry, this time of the year, it has a lot of people, high anxiety, high depression. The holidays are supposed to be the happiest time. They advertise it as the best time of the year. But for lots of people, it's sad, it's stressful, it can be depressing. Some people, you'll find them withdrawing this time of the year. People who they used to be around, the people aren't around anymore. And it's causing a level of sadness. There, you know, there's the expectation of buying all these gifts, but if you don't have the financial resources, that can be stressful. So this time that's supposed to be also jolly, also happy. And, you know, we celebrate the birth of Christ. We celebrate our Prince of Peace, or the first coming of our King. And so that's the good part. But a lot of people, it's a very stressful time. It's a time that does not have shalom. There is no peace for them. I think we can use this time, even if it's ourselves, because you don't have to be in a state of worry 24/7. Sometimes you just feel it coming on and you're like, oh, what's that feeling in my tummy? Well, where did that come from? You know, like a thought came and like, oh, and then it comes and then it, you might be able to shut it down and it might leave, but maybe not, you know, it just depends. So in terms of what can we do to bring shalom, if it means to ourselves or to others. So what do you think are some ways that we can bring shalom in this Christmas season?
To ourselves, we can try not to get all bent up on, you know, the material part of it and, you know, what gifts you're going to get for someone and that kind of stuff.
You know, it is not about the material things, which depending on who you're dealing with is a matter of level setting. But then what if the season brings up those relational, emotional stress, because you're thinking about family coming together, there's usually some kind of level of drama. I'm not saying everybody has drama, but it can create stress and anxiety. And if you're having to host, or if you're traveling to visit, or there can be a level of uncertainty, lack of peace. We're not even getting to the gifts part yet. Now, in a situation like that, if you know that, you know, you may be going to visit family and it may be a little tension there, or maybe happy and jolly, and while you're there, tension happens, because, you know, Discord loves a party. It wants to come in and divide and conquer and create mischief. In a situation like that, I think sending your prayers ahead helps. Prayers help because you're talking to God about it. You're giving it to Him. And so it's taking it off of you. So be it, even if it's the gift situation, the monetary issue or the financial issue or the emotional issue and the relationship issue, giving it to Him and even giving Him His word. God, you're our Prince of Peace. You promised us that you give us your peace. In this time, this is what is happening. I need your peace. And then you're through faith, because God said it, you receive it. Because if Jesus said, I'm giving you my peace, my perfect peace, that the world cannot give you this peace, at some point you're going to have to accept this peace. Because He said it, Jesus, I'm giving this to you. I receive it, Jesus, and walk in it, believing that you have His peace. So you're praying to God, you're reminding Him of His word, that you have His peace. Now, when you step into a room, the atmosphere should change. Why? Because you have Jesus. And if you have Jesus, it means you have light, you have peace, you have answers, just because you have Jesus. So believing that and walking in it would be the way to really express shalom or completeness.